What began as a strike by shopkeepers in Tehran on December the 28th has now snowballed into a crisis of legitimacy for the Iranian regime. 17 days of protests across the country in towns far away from the capital and the other big cities. Iranians no longer just want economic fairness, they want systematic political change. They want to end the corruption at the heart of the regime led by the Ayatollah and his Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Human rights groups say that hundreds, maybe thousands of protesters are dead. The regime says it now has the situation back under control after large-scale demonstrations in support of it on Monday. Well, the Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Arahachi had this warning for the US administration.
You asked whether a preemptive operation is on our agenda. It is not. We do not want war, but we are completely ready for it. We are even more prepared than before the last war, and the reason for that is obvious.
Well, we are joined now by Sebastian Usher, Middle East analyst with BBC World. Sebastian, thanks for taking our call. Is any information getting out of Iran at all?
There is some information that has been coming out, despite the internet blackout that there had been for days, which seems to have been put in place essentially to be able to cover up what seems to have been, from all the sources that we've all been hearing from, to have been an absolutely brutal crackdown by the authorities. There are, and I'm just seeing this morning from some of the reports from my colleagues at BBC Persian and from other sources, there are some reports that mobile phones are working again to some extent again. People have been able to get out some information through Starlink, etc. But everything that we've been hearing has essentially been pretty much the same story of this brutal crackdown all across the country. As you were saying there, I mean, the latest figure that we've had from one of the human rights groups that monitors what happens in Iran says that they have verified 648, I think, protesters killed. But as you say, I mean, we've had reports, multiple reports suggesting that figure could be in the thousands. I mean, what everyone is waiting to see, I think, from outside is two things, really. I mean, the last two nights since this intense crackdown, and as I say, the reports we've had have been essentially for security forces using machine guns on the streets against the protesters. That certainly there hasn't been, from what we've been able to glean, the same numbers of people out on the streets. That applies particularly to the capital. As you were saying in your introduction, I mean, this is across the whole of Iran, many very obscure places. We don't know what's happening there. And the Iranian regime has been trying to sell this, certainly yesterday, as being an effective end to the protests. I mean, I think that certainly isn't the case, but it does seem that those tactics would have been tried and tested so many times by the Iranian regime have had some effect for now. And the other thing, of course, that we're waiting to see is what the outside world does, and of course, in particular, what the Trump administration does.
I'll talk to you about that in a moment, Sebastian, but I heard a contributor to the BBC last night saying that in the Iranian city of Isfahan, more than 20 Iranian Revolutionary Guards and police had been killed by the protesters, that some of them too are armed. Would that be the first time in many ways that the regime has been met with armed protesters?
I mean, we've certainly seen, and I've been hearing from some contacts, and as I say, my colleagues at BBC Persian, even more so, particularly, as I say, from years outside some of the major cities. I mean, Iran is a patchwork of ethnic minorities, especially on the fringes in the West, places like that. And I mean, I think there has been some armed resistance in those places before in other mass protests, but we're certainly, I think, seeing it in this one. I mean, I had one message saying that people were getting armed and they were going to face up to the regime, but one has no sense of how widespread that is. But I mean, again, I guess one can call it interesting. I mean, it's a kind of morbid interest, but the Iranian regime in state media and semi-official media hasn't hidden, perhaps for its own purposes, to try and give a sense of what it is trying to sell to the Iranian people as a major threat against not just the regime, but them from outside, hasn't hidden the numbers of security forces that have been killed. I mean, one figure that I saw from 2 days ago from one of the Iranian news media said that more than 100 security forces had been killed. Mm-hmm. So it and we had the Iranian regime announcing on Sunday that there was going to be 3 days of national mourning. Now, I think that was in large part about the security forces who've been killed.
Donald Trump has been threatening for nearly 2 weeks now that the US is, quote, locked and loaded and ready to intervene if the regime kills protesters. Well, they are killing protesters. What can he do? He has now imposed 25% tariffs on any country which does business with Iran, primarily China. What difference will that make, Sebastian? What could he do that would make a real difference?
I mean, that could make a difference, of course. I mean, the Iranian economy, as you were saying, is the spur for these protests and will continue to be so. And there's no answer in the way that the Iranian regime is running the country at the moment to those demands. And this would make that worse, of course. I mean, the squeeze, we've seen it with the Venezuela issue as well, the oil that Venezuela was able to help Iran with, to a certain extent. We're seeing that squeeze being further imposed. So that, of course, puts additional pressure on the Iranian regime, but not, I think, in a sense that it would destabilize it to such an extent that it would be in greater danger of collapse, you know, sooner rather than later. Later today, President Trump is due to be briefed by his military advisors, the military in the US, about what his options are. I mean, we saw in that 12-day war that Israel mounted against Iran and Iran responded to back in the summer, that Israel was able to take out a considerable number of top Iranian military commanders with great ease, it seemed, at the start of that attack. And there was talk through that attack that they might decapitate the whole regime and bring it down. So that, of course, is one option. I mean, you could go, you know, to the very top. You could take out the supreme leader. You could take out, you know, the other main leaders. That's certainly an option. You could carry out attacks which target the security forces, the Revolutionary Guards, the Basij in particular. That would have some effect, but I think that would be more a symbolic attack. Okay. To show what, you know, the US wants to do. A full-on invasion, I think, is very unlikely. I think Mr. Trump has to decide how deep he wants to get involved in this, and his advisors have to tell him whether that involvement will actually achieve what he says he wants to achieve.
Sebastian, thank you very much. Sebastian Usher, Middle East analyst with BBC World. It's 7:21.